Welcome to Grow Your Influence, leadership conversations for business owners and managers. Whether you own a business and have a team, or leadership is part of your role, welcome, you're exactly where you need to be. Join co-hosts Juliette Robinson and Christy Lee Billett for their regular conversations on all things leadership. No corporate jargon, no textbook ideologies, just real life experience unpacked in a relaxed way to help you be your best boss and lead your team with confidence, clarity, and control. This is Grow Your Influence. Let's dive in.
Christy Lee, great to see you.
Hey, Juliette, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Loving spring.
Yes, me too. The weather is warmer. The whales are coasting down the coastline. It's a beautiful time of year.
It is indeed. I'm really looking forward to this episode today because I think there is so much going on in the world. And despite it being spring in Australia, there's a lot of uncertainty. I think it's not just that so many countries have elections this year. There are conflicts, all-out wars. There's the cost of living crisis. There's a lot of uncertainty. And I don't know about you, but I'm certainly seeing that flow through to the way people are responding to work. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, it's really interesting. As we always prepare for these episodes, we both come to the table with, what are you seeing, kind of queries. And we both are seeing this really interesting vibe amongst the teams and the businesses we're working with, where there is this, things are just not, you know, at the beginning of spring, we often see things ramping up and we see excitement ramping up, that whole winter little doldrum. We know to get through that. But I'm not seeing the same energy lift just yet anyway with the teams I'm working with. And I do think there is this air of uncertainty from all different angles that's really impacting how leaders are showing up for their teams, how we're all showing up, you know, in our own sort of way, but also how teams are then showing up and interacting. I think the word responding is really interesting because it is how we're responding that's becoming a little bit evident. And it's interesting to watch. And I think it is because of lots and lots of different reasons, though.
I think that's true. I mean, one of the things I certainly am seeing in the teams I'm working with is that there is this sort of low level of anxiety just around world events. Just around the increasing conflict in the Middle East and around things that are completely out of our control.
Yes.
You know, when we talk about what to focus on, focusing on those things creates anxiety because we have no control over them. But I see that sitting there in teams I'm working with as a sort of baseline. Has that been your experience?
Absolutely. And I think when there is that low-level anxiety and just, concern about world events, it also creates an extra layer of sensitivity amongst team members as well. So people are potentially walking on eggshells around each other, maybe aren't communicating as effectively as they could be, maybe more reactive than the normal. Things that didn't usually bother them are suddenly, you know, catastrophically bothering them. So I think it compounds to that level of sensitivity as well. But yeah, absolutely, that's what I'm seeing.
I think you're right. There is definitely a watchfulness around even sort of, and I've heard this from a few teams recently around just making jokes that a year or two ago would have been fine. But in this current climate, are not. And people are very sensitive to nuance at the moment.
Yes.
And are taking offence very readily because of this heightened awareness of things, which makes it really difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also stress plays a part in that sensitivity as well. So people are potentially stressed for personal reasons, completely separate to the workplace, their mortgage, their rent, skyrocketing. You know, you can't walk out of a grocery store with very much for less than $100. Yeah. School fees aren't going down. You know, all those things put pressure on people that, and makes them more sensitive to things because those emotions are heightened. So things that wouldn't have previously really bothered them now might be, and they might be particularly reactive.
I think that's really interesting. I know when we first came out of COVID too, there was talk of, you know, the great resignation.
Yeah.
And then it was sort of called in Australia the great reshuffle, and people were shuffling around. And what I'm seeing is that people are sort of staying put at the moment in some teams, even though I know they're looking around, but they don't feel confident to take that step. So they're feeling a bit like a prisoner. You know, they're sort of stuck there until financial things improve so they can make a bit of a leap in their career.
It's an interesting point you raise, because I think we did see that whole great reshuffle resignation piece. Then we saw people staying put because they wanted to get all that travel that they've been putting off done. And
Yes.
now we're seeing that come full circle again, where people are actively looking, but being cautious about the moves that they make, because I guess it is, is the grass greener? Is it going to be more secure to move to this other opportunity? And all the boxes have to be ticked for them to do it. But then you're right, they start to get resentful of their current workplace because they're not moving out of fear that really has nothing to do with the business that they're in. So it's kind of puts it in a bit of a weird cycle, really.
Well, it also changes the language because I think when people are in that mode, they're not talking about what can I do and what are we doing. They're talking about a sort of us and them.
Yes.
Like, well, I'm just going to look after myself at this point. I don't really want to be here.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of doing the bare minimum to keep things ticking over until I can make other choices, which is a really difficult place for everybody because it feels awful as the individual. But it
Yes.
also has a huge impact on the way the team functions as well.
Yeah, because it impacts engagement, which is always, a huge factor in terms of team productivity and motivation. And I think also in the last quarter of the year, people do think about, is this the right time to make a move, or am I going to put this off until the new year?
Yes,
So
yeah.
they may be seriously considering a move and planning to action that in January or February of 2025. So this is a time, I think, where us as leaders should be doing some very proactive work to bed our people down, get them engaged, and get them looking forward to next year so they don't make that decision in January.
Which brings us back to your original point, but that doesn't seem to be as prevalent this spring as it has been in others. Now, it's, I guess early days, but let's talk about how we can help people see that future picture, how we can engage people to get them through this time that can feel uncertain. What are some of your top tips for that?
Look, one of the things that I really love to do with teams in the final quarter of the year is do some sort of team, like all-in planning activity for the next calendar year. And I get a lot of pushback on that sometimes, going, I'm just not, can we talk about that next year? Can we think about that next year? I just want to get to Christmas, for the love of God. But
Yes.
it is a really important time to be engaging with the team about what next year looks like, because teams don't like uncertainty. They really struggle with it. And when we can't give them certainty and clarity, that's risky in terms of their decision making about their future. So it is a really good time to get teams together. So I'll sometimes work with teams on doing like a team planning session, like half day or something like that. And, then they can go off and have a lunch or do a fun activity. But some kind of getting everyone in the room type session and really doing some future planning. And what is the worst thing, I think, in those situations is if you, as the leader, walk into that session not prepared and with no plan for the next year. So you've got to do a bit of work ahead of that time. But getting everyone together and doing some kind of new calendar year future pacing work, I think, would be really impactful.
I agree. And I think particularly this year, that can help create some momentum to take people through the summer. And particularly, I mean, in Australia, January is often a very quiet time. And it is when people make those decisions sometimes, sitting at home, lying on the beach, whatever it is, thinking, I've had enough, I'm out of here, because they don't have that thing to look forward to. So, and I love that idea of future pacing, this idea of saying, what are we going to do? And where do I fit in that picture? How does my role contribute to that? Where is the growth for me and the connection for me?
Yeah, that's the important piece, I think. The real gold with doing anything like this is being able to align an individual's own, desires for the next year and what goals and objectives and all those things with what the business is doing. If you can find a way to align those two things for every individual on your team, That's how you get a really engaged and motivated team.
And I think if you start that with a team planning session, and I'm working with a few teams between now and the end of the year who are doing exactly this. I think that's the first step. And as part of that, I think there's a real opportunity to talk about how are we working together? You know, let's talk about this sensitivity to language or ideas. You know, let's work on building that trust in the team so that we're not all looking to trip others up, that we're not looking to be offended, so that we know that whatever anybody brings to the team isn't meant to offend anybody or overwhelm anybody. It's just the way we're thinking and what's going on in our lives.
And you've got to be prepared to have some very vulnerable conversations in doing that for people to be able to very safely say, this kind of thing offends me, or, I felt like these comments were just pushing it a little bit far. So you've got to create an environment where everyone feels really safe to have those conversations. And if you can do that, you can come up with common language. You can come up with, this is what we accept, this is what we don't accept, this is what offend, this is how I like to be communicated with, even at an individual level. So it's creating that space for that to happen.
Absolutely. And an openness to talk with one another that isn't about, I need to get my way, or mine is the only view that has any relevance here because this is my background or this is who I am.
What other strategies do you think we can implement to help get the team on board for the next year ahead?
Well, I think beyond the team session, I think there's a real argument for having one-on-one conversations with each of the members of your team. Because I think, as you said, we have to translate it down to their job so that they understand where they sit in this. And I think that really is, that has to happen one-on-one. But I think it's also an opportunity to talk with them about what is going on. You know, you seem more anxious than normal, or I'm worried that at the moment you seem to be feeling like everything's difficult or everybody's having a go at you or whatever it is. And try and drill down into what's going on for them, which might have nothing to do with work. As we know, that whole work home divide is a lovely idea, but
Not real though.
it doesn't translate to reality for most of us most of the time. I think at the moment, what I'm seeing too is that there's a real push to get people back in the office. And talking with people one-on-one about what's that going to mean for you? You know, how is that going to work? And, you know, what's going to need to happen? Because I think for some people, what I'm seeing is there is a bit of denial there about the, well, if I just dig my toes in, it's not going to happen. And what I'm hearing from the leadership is it absolutely is happening. But we want people to come to it, you know, without resistance.
Which is really hard, when it's been let slide for that long. And it's about finding a way that works, I think, for everyone. Because, just because we used to be in office all the time, doesn't mean that that's, and I think hybrid's working really well for lots of businesses, and they're able to get that connection, which is really important, in person, in the office connection, and still allow that flexibility, which is, that seems to be what's working best. But yeah, you're right. If you just expect that I'm going to dig my heels in and therefore it's going to be fine, that's not the approach to take. This is a time for communicating, I think. I think that's the key point.
I think that's right. And I think as a leader, that's really challenging because you're probably anticipating some pushback. And particularly in Melbourne, where people were locked down for so long that working from home has totally become the norm for so many people. And going into the office is something you do almost because you have to for lots. And I know when I talk with them, it's like, oh, I'm in there 2 days a week now, and that's about what I can handle. So this idea that I have to go back 5 days a week is going to be a huge disruption to my life. So as a leader, understanding that and being able to talk with your people and making sure they can talk to you about what's this going to mean, I think is really important and is part of that future pacing so that they can see that maybe it's a stage thing. And by the end of the financial year, so 6 months into next year, we'll all be back. But here's why, and here's how we'll be doing it differently. Here's the benefits of that.
Exactly. And you're going to need to show them the benefit because the immediate to them is not benefit, it's loss. It's loss of time, it's loss of money because it costs them to commute or to park or whatever the situation is. So you're really going to need to demonstrate that benefit. But yeah, absolutely. What is it going to look like here by April next year, by June next year? What are the milestones we're hitting in terms of our goals? How is being in office, in this example, going to help us get there faster?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's the really important thing. I know, big organizations at the moment are pushing their people to come back to work 5 days a week. And they're talking about innovation being a key driver of that, but also productivity. And it's not that there's any evidence that productivity has dropped, but that it's not improving. So it's sort of flatlined at the moment. And there's a sense that if we can get people back, we can drive some more productivity. Now, I think that you've got to talk about that as a team.
I don't think the two are that related in that direct way. I think there's lots of reasons productivity's plateaued, and it's not necessarily work location, but it might be a factor for sure. But it's a discussion.
Yes, I think that's exactly right. So I think getting your team together is an opportunity to talk about those sorts of things, but also to talk about the challenges for the team in terms of where are we now? Where do we want to be as a team? And what's got to change for us to get there? What's going to look different for us in 6 months, 12 months? What's it going to feel like?
It's laying down that roadmap with
I
the
think so.
team and saying, okay, here's where we're going. How are we going to get there? What obstacles are we going to come across? Where are the opportunities? Where have we got gaps? And really starting to engage them. So I
I think.
think the key is talking to people.
Totally. And I think if you get your team together and there's a sense that nobody is being open about these things, as a leader, we need to really dig into that. And I think you've re literally got to be saying, I feel like no one's talking about the elephant in the room. So I'm going to lay it out there. And if you still feel like people aren't talking, then you need to find a way for them to raise issues and ideas. And you might even just want to put a box on the table at lunchtime and say, put your issues in there and let's pull them out and talk about them. Because what it's saying to you is that the team is not, people are not feeling comfortable to raise things. So you've got to dig into what's going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we all sense it, we all feel it. There's a little bit of uncertainty, a little bit of tension, anxiety, stress around for lots of reasons, most of them outside of our control. So as leaders, what is in our control is our ability to communicate, to rally the team, to get people together, and start to future pace the year ahead. What's it looking like? What have we got to look forward to? And that will help. It'll help motivation for the rest of this year, but it's also going to help re-engage for the beginning of next year.
I think so. Yes. And make sure that as part of that, you're connecting with team members one-on-one to really understand what's
Definitely.
going for them.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. We may need to circle back at a later date on this
I think
topic.
there's a lot in this, yes. And I mean, maybe we talk about this early next year,
I think it'll
and
be a good
drill
time to
down into
revisit.
some of this as well. Yeah. Great to talk, Christy Lee.
Thanks so much, Juliet.
See you soon.
Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating, comment, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to recommend us to a friend. We also love hearing suggestions for topics or guest speakers that you would love to hear from. The best way to reach us to give us those suggestions is over on our Facebook page. Simply head to Facebook and search Grow Your Influence. See you there.